slower ahead.
I can go slow ahead. Come on down and chump some of this shit.
Shut off that engine.
Another episode of the Old School Bros. I'm Mike Auger. My brother is always the one and only Zombie Greg.
How do you do?
And the two new full-time members of this show. It's now a four-man roster. My co-host on the Movie Pub, the one and only E-Bob, Robert Escalante.
Hey, what's up?
And our cousin, Jake the Snake Rancha.
What it do?
Mm-hmm. So you guys voted. We had over 400 votes. And for the third week in a row, this is our fifth show. I won the first poll, and Greg's won it ever since, but it's going to change a little bit at the end of the show.
I know how to choose them.
We're talking Jaws, and Jaws is definitely an iconic film in movie history. Pretty much put Steven Spielberg on the map, I think that's safe to say. I haven't seen this movie since I was a little kid. So you don't realize how many movies fucking steal shit from this or does something in tribute to that movie.
Right. Well, this is the... I call these movies, and you might have heard me refer to these on my House of Horrors podcast, but this is a referable movie. So any genre that comes out where it's, you know, like The Exorcist is a possession genre, that set the bar, and that's...
Possession genre.
You're going to then refer every other possession movie that comes out. You know, you're gonna refer every single movie that comes out to The Exorcist, because that is the movie that set the bar for that type of film. Mm-hmm. You know, you could say the same thing with George Romero and the zombie films. This is what set the bar for shark films, and still does today. Every shark movie that comes out, 47 Meters Down, The Shallows, you know, Open Water, any of these shark movies, they're always going to look back and compare these to Jaws, no matter how long ago this movie is made. It's such an iconic film, and it was so original at the time that, you know, this is the movie for sharks. Yeah. Or
Jake,
the shark.
Jake's the youngest here out of all of us. He's still in his 20s. God bless.
He's 17.
You've seen this movie a lot. And this came out, this is way before any of our time.
Pretty much every time it was on, yeah, my mom and I would watch it. So, easily maybe 10 times.
Yeah. No shit. Robert, you don't remember shit about this movie, right?
I saw it so long ago, I don't remember shit about it,
All right, so before we do that, we always like to hop in the time machine and see how the country was doing back then. So we're hopping back to the year of 1975. And here to read our facts from that year is my lovely wife, Deanna. Okay, go ahead, go.
Okay, so 1975, the president was Gerald Ford.
Yeah.
There was the Watergate scandal.
That was continuing on, I think, from the year before.
Mm-hmm. Wheel of Fortune debuts.
Okay, oh, so far shit. It's a good year.
I know, right?
Shows how old that show is.
Super Bowl champs. Steelers over Vikings.
Ooh,
that's always good. Screw the Vikings. Bill Gates founded
Microsoft.
Sorry, Microsoft.
Okay. That's insane, dude. I didn't know that company has been around that fucking long.
It's been a long time.
It is a long time.
Yeah.
Unemployment was at 9%.
Jesus. Holy shit. And we're up in arms about fucking 5%?
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
Jesus Christ.
Who's that, Jimmy?
We're going to be reading in the future.
Jimmy Hoffa goes missing.
In 2017 was Pussygate.
Jimmy Hoffa. He was basically like a head guy in the Teamsters Union.
Who?
What? Jimmy Hoffa.
Jimmy Hoffa? You know who that is?
Nobody knows who that is?
Okay.
It's been a while, but I remember the name, but I know the story.
So his bright idea to get the unions more power is to get the mafia involved. The only problem is when he's...
He went missing. It's like an unsolved mystery, right?
Nobody's found him to this day.
That's really all I remember about that.
Yeah.
All I remember is the Ace Ventura quote, "They'll find Jimmy Hoffa before they find him."
It's one of the biggest mysteries of this entire country, though. They never found a fucking trace of him, dude.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Thrilla in Manila?
Yes, Muhammad Ali defeating Joe Frazier in one of the biggest fights of all time.
Yeah.
I don't know any of this. Okay, Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live debuts.
Oh, fantastic.
I at least know that. Yeah, that's a big
deal. Back when it was good.
It was, well...
It's kind of hit and miss now. There's some skits that are pretty good, but sometimes it's shit. Yeah. But a lot of the people that were great on that show are gone now. That's the problem.
Yep.
Yeah, so 1975, what a year.
There you go.
Definitely before we were all born. So before we jump into the review of the film, too, we like to always get into the behind the scenes and the making of the film, and Deanna's going to read those facts for us, too.
Sometimes that Sharky looks right into you, right into your eyes. You know the thing about a shark? He's got lifeless eyes, black eyes, like a doll's eye. When he comes at you, he doesn't seem to be living until he bites you, and those black eyes roll over white, and then... Oh, then you hear that terrible high-pitched screaming. The ocean turns red, and in spite of all the pounding and the hollering, they all come in, they... rip you to pieces.
Okay, so when composer John Williams originally played the score for director Steven Spielberg, Spielberg laughed and said, "That's funny, John, really. But what did you really have in mind for the theme of Jaws?"
Ooh, goddamn.
Spielberg later stated Spielberg later stated that without Williams' score, the movie would only have been half as successful, and according to Williams, it jump-started his career.
How iconic is that score, though?
Other than, like, Star Wars? Yeah, it's, like, one of the most iconic ones ever.
And we'll talk about the score when we break this movie down, because there's some parts that are interesting, but go on.
Okay. So Robert Shaw could not stand Richard Dreyfuss, and the two argued all the time, which resulted in some good tension between Hooper and Quint.
Awesome. And you can tell they fucking... That really bled through in viewing this film, how much those two hated each other.
I fucking love Quint, dude.
Yes. Robert's going to like him a lot more, too, when we hear more about the actor.
Okay, I don't know
how to
say this last
time. Actually, this very... According to writer Carl Gottlieb.
Gottlieb?
Yep.
I don't know. Okay. The line, "You're gonna need a bigger boat," was not scripted, but was ad-libbed by Roy Scheider.
How many times have you heard that movie line repeated over and over and over again?
For sure.
In pop culture.
For everything.
"We're gonna need a bigger boat."
Okay, so over 67 million people in the U.S. went to see the film when it was initially released in 1975, making it the first ever summer blockbuster.
Oh, wow.
Right? 67 million people?
Which is kind of by today's standards maybe not so high, but
still,
back then, like I said, this was literally the first summer blockbuster movie.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Here's a part Robert's going to appreciate. Go ahead. Okay.
Though respected as an actor, Robert Shaw's trouble with alcohol was a frequent source of tension during filming.
Oh, I appreciate that. I'm all for alcoholism.
In later interviews, Roy Scheider? How do you say his last name?
Scheider?
Okay. Described his co-star as a perfect gentleman whenever he was sober.
That's
so
evil. Like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yes. All he needed was one drink, and then he turned into a competitive son
that's
of a bitch.
That's not true. That's the difference.
Well,
many drinks before Evolvulus
shows up. Yes, Evolvulus does show up a little bit later.
Go ahead. Continue on.
Okay. Okay, according to Carl Gottlieb's book, The Jaws Log, Shaw was having a drink between takes, at which one point he announced, I wish I could quit drinking.
This bleeds through big time on the screen, dude.
Much to the surprise and horror of the crew, Richard Dreyfuss simply grabbed Shaw's glass and tossed it into the ocean. When it came time to shoot the infamous USS Indianapolis scene, Shaw attempted to do the monologue while intoxicated as it called for the men to be drinking late at night. Nothing in the take could be used. A remorseful Shaw called Steven Spielberg late that night and asked if he could have another try. The next day of shooting, Shaw's electrifying performance was done in one take.
That performance was masterful.
That's
too.
What I was just about to say, dude.
Best scene in the
that's
movie.
One of the best yeah. scenes in the movie, especially dialogue work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I knew what you guys were talking about.
Just agree, dude.
What? Right here?
Yeah.
Okay, so director Steven Spielberg named the shark Bruce after his lawyer.
That's fantastic.
I know, that's great.
And then when the shark was built, it was never tested in the water. When it was put in the water at Martha's Vineyard, it sank straight to the ocean floor. It took a team of divers to retrieve it. Oh my gosh, that's a total fail. Okay, last one. When the Egyptian resort of Shark El Sheikh experienced killer shark attacks in 2010, they apparently used the plot of Jaws as their guide, including denying the problem, resisting closing the beaches.
Which is exactly like the fucking movie.
Yes!
Reluctantly closing them after a near-shore attack.
That mayor is such a fucking used car salesman.
It's beat for beat, they did this in real life.
I know.
Killing the wrong shark and declaring it the right one, despite clear evidence to the contrary. Reopening the beaches with a fanfare declaring them safe.
Oh my god, dude.
Then having more attacks take place. After that, however, the shark simply left on its own accord.
There's one more thing I didn't write down here, but it's fucking funny. Apparently George Lucas, Spielberg, and two other guys went down to see the shark before it was created. And the jaw mechanism can go up and down. So they told George Lucas, hey, get your head in there. And check it out. So he goes in there. Spielberg closes the jaws on Lucas. The thing malfunctions. They can't get the motherfucker out, dude. So they finally end up getting him out and break the thing, and they all book it out of there because they thought they broke the shark.
Oh, my god!
Oh, my god.
So
that's awesome.
Some funny little things that
happened. Sounds like this is a fun movie to make.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Let's jump into it, though. Jaws. So the movie starts out, it takes place on a small island in, where is this fucking place again? I can't remember. Like New England or something?
Yes, New England, I think so. It's New England.
And the sheriff had just moved there with his family from New York, right?
Right.
And it's quiet town, nothing happens. And you can tell that the police captain is like, or I said sheriff, but police captain, he's kind of getting bored. And he's kind of getting tired. Everybody's coming up to him with the stupidest fucking problems. Like, shit that you shouldn't be going to cops for.
Yeah, but before that, first of all, the opening shot of the movie...
Yes, this is before we meet the
police captain.
It is
fucking one of the creepiest things you've ever seen in a movie.
Yes.
It's a party going on at the beach, and this girl, this dumbass girl, decides to go out for a naked night swim.
It's kind of like a teenage horror movie, but
this
is
before. I remember this scene, now that you're describing it.
Yeah. It'll come back to you, dude, trust me.
Dude, and she's literally just out there, and you just feel like so much isolation when she's out in the middle of the dark ocean, pitch black ocean.
It's a bunch of hippies
smoking
pot, and they're all fucked up.
Yeah.
And then she's like, come on, her titties are out, and she's like running, and jumps in the water, and she's like, come on, go for a swim.
Yeah.
But back then, you're like, okay, this is the first time this has ever been done.
Right.
Now you're like, haven't you ever seen Jaws?
Yeah, exactly. So when you're watching this movie and you kind of put yourself back when this movie was made, that opening shot is so freaking terrifying.
That being said, when she gets taken by Jaws, and it's her going, whoa!
You thought it was Ventura?
It's Ventura, so first thing I thought of, dude. That's exactly how it looked.
Real friendly.
So, So then it goes back to the police captain, and people are coming up to him like, hey, my dog took a shit on this lawn, you need to fix this, you know, stupid shit. He ends up getting a call, and the guy reported a missing woman, and they find the remains of the woman chewed up. Mm-hmm. So obviously they're expecting shark. And this mayor is just...
used car salesman, dude.
He is a classic sleazeball, dude.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, hey, you know, we need to close the beaches. He's like, are you kidding me? It's summertime. There's tourists coming. Yeah. These beaches need to stay open. We got to make some cashola here, buddy.
Right over his head, somebody fucking got eaten by a shark.
Exactly. So they keep it under wraps. They don't tell anybody. Beach stays open. Bunch of kids are out there swimming. And then one kid gets taken by him, and he's dead.
Mm-hmm. He did.
And, you know, at that point, the mayor's still like, oh, come on now, let's not overreact. Let's just see how things play out here.
That kid was going to grow up to be an asshole anyway.
Exactly. So, it's like, it takes so long for... Oh, I believe they have an emergency meeting with city council and everything.
Right.
And that's the scene that has been tributed to in movies and TV all over the place. There's a bunch of talking heads rambling and rambling, and then it's...
Yeah.
On the chalkboard.
Introduce Quint.
And it's not seen this movie for so long. I had forgotten where that came from. It came from this movie. So many things come from this movie.
What? And then Quint asked for a certain amount of money to... To catch a shark and kill 10 grand. I was like, wow, I wonder how much money
was
left back there.
10 grand, yeah. $2,000 a day if I catch him or don't catch him.
Right.
I bought her, and then he gets more shit later on. But
right.
And then the mayor's like, okay, we'll take your suggestion under advisement, and that's it. He just fucking leaves it be.
Right.
So at that point, you know, you could tell the police captain's conflicted because he's like, okay, we have a serious problem here.
Right.
This guy doesn't want to deal with it.
He's the most, I think, reasonable guy in the whole movie.
And at this point, now they know there's a shark problem.
Right.
So then, like, the biggest drunks in town, the biggest dumb fucks, are getting on a boat trying to take down the shark.
Right.
And this is where Richard Dreyfuss shows up. And he is a member of the Oceanic something, rather.
Yeah.
Hooper.
Yes, Hooper. That's his name. There you go.
Matt Hooper.
Yeah.
He's there to help. So the first thing he needs to do is take a look at the body remains.
I don't remember. I'm blank.
You didn't rewatch the movie?
I did. I would rewatch it.
And you still don't remember?
I don't remember.
How do you remember? Right there.
Not that part, no.
Okay, so he's going through the remains. I just watched this
today. Oh, yeah, yes.
He's going through the remains of the body, and...
He's getting all grossed out and
he's
shit, right?
He's getting grossed out, but then he's realizing, this ain't a fucking boating accident like you wrote down here. This is a shark attack.
Yes, yeah. I remember that, yes.
And the dumb fucks come back with the shark, and it's a hammerhead.
Right.
And he's telling them, no, this isn't...
Yeah.
The size of the mouth doesn't coincide with the bite wound here.
Right.
So, clearly this is bullshit, you know? This ain't the right shark.
Right.
And the mayor's like, now hold on a minute.
Yeah.
He's like... That looks like a shark to me. And then Richard Dreyfuss is like, the only way we're going to find out is if we cut this thing open and see what's in that belly, because it has a slow digestive system,
right.
And that's the only way we'll be able to know. He's like, God damn it, I'm not going to cut that shark open and have that boy gut spill all over in front of everybody. It's a media nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, and at the same time, the mother of the boy that got eaten... That's the guy. That's the fucking mayor, dude.
Yeah.
He just looks like a douchebag, huh? I think that fucker's still alive, too. I was looking to see who was still alive.
Yeah.
He's one of them.
Oh, Richard Dreyfuss is still alive, right?
Yeah, but that guy's like 89 years old.
Is he?
Yeah. Robert Shaw and Roy Schneider are both dead.
Yeah.
Actually, no, this guy died in 86.
Okay, so it's not the one I was thinking of then. There was somebody here. Meadows, that's the guy that's still alive. Anyhow. So the police captain goes back to the house, and he has this moment with this kid that I thought was real, like, impactful, where he's kind of looking at his kid and feeling bad about what's happened now, because the mom comes up and slaps him in the face and said, you knew there was a shark in there and you let him die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's looking at his kid now thinking, fuck, that could have been my kid. You know, I'm an asshole. you know, tells his kid, I need a hug, you know.
A little bit of reflection there.
Absolutely. And at that point, Richard Dreyfuss shows up in the most awkward fucking scene, dude. Like, the police captain's not eating his dinner.
Right.
Richard Dreyfuss is like, chee! Hope you don't mind. The door is open. He has two bottles of wine. Starts breaking open the wine. He sees a dinner on the table. He's like, anybody gonna eat this? And he starts eating the fucking police captain's dinner. And the police captain's all fucked up at this point, too. He's right. been drinking wine all night.
Right.
They start having a conversation about it, and police captain's like, the only way we're going to get to the bottom of this is I'm going to have another drink, and then we're going to go down there and cut that shark open. So that's the next scene, and they end up cutting the shark open and finding, like, basically just garbage and a couple fishes. They don't find a boy.
License plates and shit.
Right. So the next scene is them in the boat at night, which the police captain's afraid of the water. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, at this point, too, we really haven't seen the beast. Spielberg does a great job.
His name is Bruce.
Yes. We don't see Bruce at this point. He does a great job, though, of taking the view, like, from underwater as if the shark is swimming up on you. And I think that's kind of a revolutionary style of filmmaking at the time. Because a lot of it was handheld. And they're giving you that view. Like kind of, you feel like you're in the water with the shark, like fighting for your life, so to speak. So at this point, though, they're chopping around in the water looking for the shark. And I think they encounter him, if I'm not mistaken. They find a boat that's actually empty. And Richard Dreyfuss goes in the water, sees that the boat has been purged, and there's a shark tooth on the end, and then a dead body just falls in the middle of the boat. Freaks them out. They know for sure now it's a great white based on the tooth. Yeah. So they go and tell the mayor this, and the mayor's like, now hold on a minute here.
Well, not only did they find a tooth, but it's a humongous tooth too. So they're kind of guessing what the size of the shark is.
Yeah, so they have an encounter with the mayor now.
Right.
And the mayor's like, this fucking beach is going to be open on the 4th of July. There's going to be people swimming. You can suck my dick. And that's pretty much the end of it.
I hope he said it in those words.
I wish he did. But no. But at the point where the beach is open, and now they've got like fucking helicopters flying overhead. They've got fucking people in the sea with guns, walkie-talkies and everything. But nobody's going in the water. Okay? So then the mayor is like, God damn it, this isn't good for business. Hey, he goes up to one of his cronies, go in the water. And the guy's like, just put some suntan lotion on. You know, he's like, God damn it, get in the water now.
Right.
So he goes in the water, and that gets everybody else in the water.
Right. Then you see the fucking most iconic shark prank that you've ever seen in the movie.
Yeah.
You see the fin.
The fin. Everybody's the kid underneath freaking out. Swimming.
But there's such good tension building here.
Yeah.
And when they find out that it's not shark, it's just cute kids. But then on the other side, in the pond, where the sheriff or the police captain's like, tells his son, why don't you go swim in the pond because it's safer. The shark's over here.
Right.
There's the pond, and here's the real fucking Jaws now. Swimming into the pond, and that kid barely gets out, if I'm not mistaken.
He gets out. They actually
somebody else die right there? Yeah. The dude right boater, in front of them, that's right.
A boater dies, and it forces the kid to go into shock. After that happens.
Yes, kid goes into shock.
Yeah.
So at this point, the mayor's at the hospital now, and the police captain's like, now get over here. And the fucking mayor's like, no, hold on a minute here.
Still has that up.
I'm going to get some money out of my pocket.
He's sitting here going like this. No, wait a minute. Let's see. I was just doing what's best for the city. Yeah, that's what it was. I was just doing what was best for the city. He's like, you sign this fucking waiver and get
Quint
to kill this goddamn shark.
Right.
And then he's just like, well, you know, I don't know if I can make that authority. And he's like, bullshit, sign this. He ends up signing it. Now they go and meet Quint. And from this point on is where the movie,
takes off.
It's already been pretty good, but this is where it gets so much better.
Yeah.
Once Quint gets introduced.
Really, once Quint gets introduced and seeing how Quint reacts with Hooper is one of my favorite scenes because they just don't get along at all. Hooper kind of gets called out as being like a phony and like a little bitch basically to Quint, and just every line that Quint says is fantastic in the movie. Dude, you ever seen a shark's eyes? They're black like gold.
almost like they're not even alive until they bite into you.
Sounds like Predator.
He could have been in Predator.
Absolutely.
Then, yeah.
So the three of these men are going to take off now on this boat to take down Jaws. Right. And I love when the wife is seeing off the captain.
Right.
She's like, you know, be safe. And he's like, oh, there's nothing to worry about. And Quinn's like, he's like, well, let me get this right.
Yeah, you got to quote this exact.
Here he lies, Chief Martin Brody, a shallowy grave. We're all going to die this weekend. Right in front of his wife, dude. He's like, I hope you brought your rubbers, boys. So they take off, and the score in this movie, like the whole time it's like, dun, 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 dun. But then when they take off, it's like, do, 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 do. I'm like, what the fuck?
It just changes into like
such a total shift, dude.
Happy adventure mode.
Yeah, and it's like all slapstick all of a sudden. And I was like, that's kind of odd, you know, but that's kind of Spielberg, too, if you think about it, you know.
It is.
He can kind of shift tones in his films a lot.
Yeah.
But Quint, by far, is the best part of this whole fucking movie. And he's not even in it that much.
I would say Quint and Brody. I liked Brody a lot, too.
Yeah, I did, too.
I think Brody was really good in the movie. But then, as they're out now on the sea and that's when they get that conversation where they're drinking late at night. And
they have a couple encounters with Jaws and he gets away each time.
Right.
And they're seeing things from this shark they've never seen before, you know.
First of all, too, I want to just throw this out there. One of the things that I really, really, really love and respect about this film is you don't really see the shark a lot. Like, you see mostly above the water shots where you see, like, the silhouette of him. Or like you said, it shows like, kind of like what the shark's seeing and things like that. They don't really show the shark, really, until, well, Captain Quinn fucking meets his doom, but they don't really show, you know, too much of the shark, you know?
And when they show the scenes of the shark in the water, it's fine. It still holds up.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, that's one of the biggest problems I have with shark films today is it just shows a little bit too much, where you kind of like...
Well, CGI now, too. They feel like they don't have to, I guess.
Yeah, sometimes the CGI looks okay, but...
It doesn't build the tension, though, either.
No, it doesn't.
So they have this conversation where they're getting drunk in the hall.
Right.
This is one of the most impactful scenes of the entire movie. Is basically they're comparing
scars.
Scars.
Yeah.
Kind of one upping each other, and then Quint tells a story about how he was in the military, and I believe he got shot down with a bunch of his soldiers.
He's a sailor on the USS Indianapolis, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so they were floating in the water for like... Tell the story.
Just from what I remember, they were out there for like... I think it was 3 days or something they were out there. And there was like 500 men or something, and only like a handful of them survived or something like that. And he was one of them.
And a lot of them were getting eaten by sharks, right?
Yeah, the sharks kept coming in and out, almost like playing with them, he was saying in the movie. And
today this movie would never be made today because there's so much like animal rights activists and PETA and shit like that, and they demonize these sharks so much. They don't even make them seem like it's just even the writer of this book said if he knew what he knew today about sharks, he would never wrote this book.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he just makes these creatures seem like demonic and
shooting harpoon barrels into the fucking sharks.
Yeah. So anyhow, so when they're getting fucked up, he makes this really impactful scene, and it's just a masterful piece of acting, dude.
Right.
Him describing this and why he does what he does, so to speak.
Right.
In the middle, at the end of this, though, Jaws starts attacking the ship.
Right.
And he's knocking the fuck out of this boat, dude. Yeah,
fucks the engine up.
Yeah, right. they're getting water, taking on water now.
Yep. And then I believe Brody tries to call the Coast Guard through the radio.
He smashes it with
a baseball bat.
She put out the fire, will you?
Well, that's just great.
Yeah.
Now what am I going to do?
So
this is where we finally end up seeing Jaws, and this is where you can tell us it's 1975, dude.
It's still cool, though. For being over 40 years old, though,
they did a pretty fucking good job with Jaws, dude.
I agree.
I was really impressed for being over 40 years old. That thing looks pretty good.
And really, the camera angle and how they shot it of him actually coming out of the water was fucking pretty cool.
I think the worst part is when the ship is like kind of in the water. This is where Quint meets his death.
Yeah. And he actually comes up onto the ship.
Yes, yeah, he comes onto the ship. Yeah.
Eating Clint.
Oh my god, it's brutal though, dude.
It's pretty bloody and pretty brutal.
Austin
dude.
Was sitting down watching this with me.
Was
and
he?
Once that shark came up, I was like, okay, buddy, cover his eyes.
Yeah, that's news to me.
He's like, why are you letting Aaron watch? He's like, because he's a baby. He doesn't understand
it. He doesn't understand it, but Austin.
That's a movie, though, where, you know, Quint was like such an impactful character in the movie. That if you watch this for the first time, you definitely probably don't expect him to get eaten, dude.
No.
Because the last ditch effort is they're going to put this poison on a dart and shove it in Jaws' mouth right. in the shark cage, and Richard Dreyfuss is in the water.
Right.
But Jaws breaks open the cage. I think he gets Richard Dreyfuss on the leg, and then he escapes. So now it's basically down to Brody and the Beast, and he ends up throwing a propane tank in the shark's mouth. And the shark's just coming at him, and the ship's sinking at the same time, so he's fighting the water too. And he's shooting the rifle at the end, like, come on, fucker, come on. He's trying to hit that propane tank, and he finally hits it, and it's one of the most spectacular explosions of flesh I've ever seen, dude.
Yeah.
The thing blows up, and just chunks and blood go flying everywhere, dude. It's fucking awesome.
It's a pretty epic way to kill the fucking shark, dude.
The second most quoted movie line of that movie, smile, you son of a bitch.
That's that last little fucking little punch in there.
So then at the end it's just Dryford and Brody, they have a good little laugh and then swim back to shore.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jaws.
A lot of sequels to follow that one, dude.
Terrible ones too.
Yep.
Terrible,
yeah, but Jaws the first one, man, what a fucking epic iconic movie, dude.
Robert, any final thoughts?
This movie is awesome. I enjoy it so much.
It's like I said, it influenced a lot of different movies. So it's definitely one that's hollowed and stands the test of time, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
One you can watch nowadays and still have an appreciation for sure. All right, so looking into the next show we do of this, each one of us is going to pick a different movie. We'll put it on the poll on Twitter. You guys can vote. And whoever wins, that'll be the next Old School Bros. So we will start it off with...
All right. I don't know. I kind of have a little dilemma here because there's two movies that I'm not sure which one I want to pick. Do you guys want to do a vote on the two?
Just pick, dude.
Just pick. Just go with your guts, man.
My gut is saying License to Drive.
Oh my god! Me and you are probably. No, I think you've seen that too. Wow.
Never seen that.
I remember watching that movie all the time as a little kid.
Me too! Another one we shouldn't have been watching. Hey, Dad, I got laid.
What is
that? Let me show you how to drive that stick shift.
Oh my god.
Awesome movie.
I don't think I want to see this.
Rest in peace, Corey Haim. Fucking A, dude. That is fucking great. I love it. I'm already loving this. Jake, you're up.
Man, before
2000 and back.
Right? Okay, I'm going to go with a 1963 classic.
Oh my god.
What? You were in...
Alfred Hitchcock, The Birds.
Oh. The Birds.
Damn. That's a classic. For me, that's a classic.
You're not going horror, are you?
I'm not.
Oh, I went that.
I almost went horror just because of Halloween.
I thought for sure
Halloween is coming up, but...
Yeah, we're not going to record this till like December.
All right, this film made in 1995, and this goes up to one of my favorite epic films of all time, dude. Mel Gibson, that crazy son of a bitch.
Yes.
Braveheart.
I thought you were going with another one.
Nope, I'm going Braveheart, dude.
Man, these Sir two William are going to get all serious, and I pick at throw out License to Drive.
We're on the same family.
Too serious.
Both of them are like Oscar contenders and shit.
I'm going to pick one that can be serious, and it can also be made fun of. It made trench coats popular. It made sunglasses popular. It made slow motion popular.
The Matrix.
The Matrix.
Oh, that's a good one. Wait. Explain. How can you make fun of this film?
What year is
that? I know, right?
The movie is epic.
Is that movie in
1999.
Jesus Christ.
Right before the cutoff. So, guys, if you want to vote on this, go to Dragon Star Radio on Twitter. Cast your vote. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, all the other bullshit on Dragon Star Radio. Download the show on iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, wherever else you can find podcasts. Pornhub, yeah. Leave us a rating. We've been getting more ratings lately. We appreciate that. We appreciate the 5-star ratings. And we made the top 100 on Podomatic this year, or not this year, this past week. So we thank you again for all the downloads as well. That's it for now, guys, and we'll see you when we see you.
See ya.